everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing the program on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We are off and running on Tuesday. It is August the 24th, 2022. We'll be celebrating 12 full years with our radio project at the end of this year and 35 years on Tucson Television and Radio, The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. They have the naming rights, and we're glad they do because we love green things. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We have a very extensive archive of programs. In fact, pretty much every program we have done since January 2011. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, when we do our telephone interviews, is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The League of Women Voters has such a rich history. The League was officially founded in my hometown, Chicago, back in 1920, just 6 months before the 19th Amendment was ratified and women won the right to vote. It was created by representatives of the National American Women's Suffrage Association. The League began as a mighty political experiment designed to help 20 million women carry out their new responsibilities as voters. So, 100 years later, the League is a nonpartisan, activist, grassroots organization that believes voters should play a critical role in democracy. We welcome to the show Nancy Hand. Nancy is the president of the League of Women Voters. Hey, Nancy, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the footprint of the League here in Tucson.
Well, the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson has been empowering voters and defending democracy here in our town for more than 80 years. Really, that is our primary mission, to empower voters and defend democracy. And we are a nonpartisan political organization. So we are nonpartisan. That means we never support, endorse, or oppose candidates or parties at any level of government. We do, however, take positions on and advocate for policy, such as voting rights, women's reproductive rights, health rights, non-discrimination, and a whole host of other policy positions, but never from a partisan point of view.
So you will not see on a campaign sign for a particular candidate endorsed by LWV or whatever.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we offer completely nonpartisan voter registration services, voter education services. We want everyone to vote because it's not government by the people, of the people, for the people, without the participation of everyone. And that means everyone of every background, every race, sexual orientation, gender identity, ability, income level, everyone.
So, Nancy, let's talk a little bit about some of the changes that have happened here in Pima County. And you want our listeners who are voters, I hope, to find out what those changes are all about.
That's right. So we have some major changes to the way we vote here in Pima County this year. Three major changes specifically. We just went through the redistricting process, so we will all be in new legislative districts. That is mandated by law after each 10-year census. We also will see a change to the permanent early voting list, which now becomes the active early voting list. And maybe most importantly, we will now be voting at vote centers, those who vote on the day of elections, rather than by precinct. Mm-hmm. And this is a change that the League of Women Voters supported because we support expanding access to voting.
And it is convenient, for at least the reports we got in the primary, it seemed to go fairly well.
So the biggest difference is that in the past, you had to vote at your precinct polling location,
one location,
close to your home, a school or a church often. Mm-hmm. And if you went to the wrong place, you know, you would be turned away or you would have to cast a provisional ballot. And that meant that, you know, if you have to go to work before the polls open and you come home late, you have to go to that polling location near your home to vote. Now you can vote at any any vote center that's convenient to you. There'll be 129 vote centers available on election day for those who vote in person. You can vote to the one that's closest to your home, closest to your place of employment, your kids' childcare, transportation centers, any one of the 129 vote centers that's convenient for you.
You mentioned early voting. Were there some changes there?
There is a change to the permanent early voting list. It's now called, instead of the permanent early voting list, it's called the active early voting list. So in the past, we all referred to the PEVL, but now it's called the EVL. And really, for the time being, it's not going to have much of an impact. If you are on the permanent early voting list, and many people in Pima County are.
I am, for sure. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
It sure is convenient. You will continue to receive all of your elections information and ballots by mail for the foreseeable future. You are automatically on the new active early voting list. The change is, and this is actually starting in 2025, it won't affect us for a while, but starting in 2025, you will have to use the ballot that you receive in the mail at least once in a 2-year period to remain on that list. Now, the only thing that's a little tricky about that is if you receive the ballot in the mail, but then you decide you want to go vote on the election, on election day,
right,
and you vote at a vote center, you have not used the ballot that came in the mail. So you have to use the actual ballot that came in the mail once in a 2-year period to stay on that list. Now, if you don't do that, the recorder's office will send you a letter and ask, do you want to stay on the active early voting list? And if you say yes, you will stay on the list. If you don't respond, then you'll be removed. But all you need to do is sign up again. If that happens, you can easily sign up, you know, the way you originally signed up at the recorder's website or using a paper form.
There's a lot to digest here. What about a website that you could direct our listeners to?
That's right. So the League of Women Voters recently launched a brand new website separate from our organizational website to explain all of these changes in very simple, easy to understand language. It's ReadySetVoteTucson.com.
Okay.
It has information about all of these changes as well as links to the recorder's office, links to register to vote or confirm or review your registration, as well as other helpful links like Arizona Clean Elections that has reliable nonpartisan voting information as well.
Now, how about encouraging people to register to vote? That's one of your missions. How do you get people to register to vote? Simple ways.
Yeah, that's right. So we encourage everyone to register to vote. I know that sometimes people feel it's easy to feel like it's not important to vote, that one vote doesn't matter. But I think we have all seen in recent years that all votes matter and that we all have the great privilege, if you know, compared to some other countries where folks don't have that opportunity, the opportunity and the responsibility to vote. It's very easy to register to vote. Actually, you can go to ReadySetVoteTucson.com and find the links there. You can register online through the links on that website, and we actually explain the process a little bit to you before you go through it. Or you can register using a paper form that you can get from the recorder's office.
It sounds like this new website, though, is very, very convenient. It's like a clearinghouse of election information.
That's right. And specifically focused on these changes to voting, because there have been a lot of questions, and we want to make sure that people have the information they need to vote with confidence. I'd also like to mention that we offer other services as well. If you're a member of a community organization, a neighborhood organization, even a company, and you would like us to come and register, help people register to vote, we're happy to do that. We provide training as well. If you want to train yourself and members of your organization to do your own voter registration, we provide that training. And we also provide talks. We can provide talks on these changes to the way we vote in Pima County this year, as well as a whole host of other topics.
That information, Nancy, is available again at the website.
Yes, well, ReadySetVoteTucson.com mm-hmm. is exclusively dedicated to voting information for this year.
Okay.
If folks are interested in our other services, they can visit LWVTucson.com. That is the League of Women Voters main website.
That's the main website.
Yep.
And that's got a lot of information. Surprising. I mean, we've all kind of, I think everybody's heard of League of Women Voters, but I didn't realize it had been around so long. And I learned from you that Tucson's chapter is 80 years old.
That's right.
League of Women Voters doing some great work about trying to keep our land free. So,
that's right.
Again, the website is
ReadySetVoteTucson.com.
Nancy Hand, a pleasure to see you again. Thanks,
Thank you
Nancy.
Very much.
All right, the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We love Green Things. They're at 3384 East River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site, looking awfully good after these rains that we've been having. And they're also home to Zocalo Village, some beautiful merchandise, Talavera pottery from Mexico, and beautiful handcrafted things from not only Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. The website's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is John Trout. Start your day well-informed and join me for America in the Morning, weekday mornings at 5 before Wake Up Tucson on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And we will contact Shelley Fishman telephonically, where he is based for a few days anyway, over in lovely Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Shelley, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you doing today? How's the weather there?
Oh, the weather's very nice. I think we're starting to dry out a little bit. Just kind of a hint of fall in the air. And we had a huge weekend of rain here, but things are drying out. Hey, Shelley, are you sure yesterday wasn't Tuesday?
Well, you know, Bill, I left town on Sunday and left you in charge.
Yes.
So last Friday and yesterday were days where the market took a look at the gains that it had achieved throughout the early part of August and said, well, we're not so sure right now. Let's maybe back off a little bit and see what our friends at the Fed do at their annual meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. They're giving new meaning to the term policy comes down from on high.
Yeah.
because they're up there in Jackson Hole, and they'll be there all week. And on Friday, Fed Chairman Powell will make a long-awaited speech. And, of course, economists here in the U.S. and probably across the whole world are trying to figure out what he's going to say. Because if he says that the progress that the U.S. has been making in controlling inflation is encouraging, and he backs off a little bit on raising interest rates, then I think the markets will view that very favorably. If, on the other hand, he says, you know, we're not there yet, and we're going to continue this very aggressive anti-inflation policy or set of policies to raise short-term interest rates, then I think the markets will have looked back at the early part of this week and said, well, maybe we made the right decision in not jumping into a new bull market too early.
It just seems weird to me, though, that they'd go so negative on this speculation about what he might say.
Well, you know, the market's very nervous right now. The economy is showing signs of, in some ways, of being very, very heated up. And, you know, the employment picture is very good. Consumerism is still very active. We've recovered completely from the losses we took during the early stages of the pandemic in terms of both gross national product and also consumer spending. And so, you know, that would indicate that we have a market that is really responding well to all the stimulus. The problem is we also have inflation at the same time. And the Fed is raising rates. And so those two things, when you take, you know, kind of those two extremes, the market has rarely seen anything like this. I certainly can't remember in my lifetime when we've seen anything that is giving us direction in both directions. In other words, it's saying things are good, but on the other hand, things are bad. And that's confusing economists. And so what we're seeing is a lot of speculation as to what the Fed ought to do and what the Fed will be doing. We're also seeing some indications from corporate executives as they give us indications of what they're planning for in the future, that they're a little bit concerned about rising interest rates and their ability to continue to raise the money they need to raise to finance their businesses. And so those cautionary words are also spooking the market a little bit. I'm not changing my both hope and prediction that we'll wind up the year in positive territory, but certainly the market is looking for some positive signs that they can cling to. And on the way there, we get more volatility.
It's an anomalous type of market. Look at, you've got people, employers looking for people. You just cannot find enough of labor help. And usually that is not something that goes with a recession.
It certainly doesn't. And that's the thing that's got people a little spooked and a little confused. You know, the Fed, when they start raising interest rates to control inflation, and their target for inflation is about 2% a year, we've had some months that are much, much higher than that. But if we take a look at the yearly average, we've got about 6% inflation right now. So the Fed's got about 4 percentage points of inflation that they got to get under control. When they raise interest rates, that doesn't automatically lower prices. In fact, it can have the very opposite effect. It raises prices for people who want to borrow money. And so initially, the sectors that get affected the most are the housing sector, because when mortgage rates go up, then people think twice about whether or not they can refinance their homes or whether or not they can afford to buy a new home. And so what we see happen in the housing market, at least, as prices for money go up, then the price of houses, which has been very, very aggressive over the past a year or so, begin to flatten. And in fact, I think I read this morning that we're seeing for the first time a month where housing prices actually came down by a little bit. So the Fed, in that respect, is having the effect on that marketplace, which is a very, very large marketplace that it wants to have. For other things that the Fed is affecting, it takes a little bit longer. And that's because when the Fed raises interest rates, companies start backing off on their ability to expand and do the things that they'd like to do because money becomes more important. That results in a slowing of the economy, and unfortunately, it normally results in layoffs and higher unemployment. When that happens, then people are buying less because they can afford to buy less. They can't afford to spend money that they don't really have, and that then begins to bring the price of goods and services down. The problem there, Bill, is that the wrong people are being affected.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people who are being laid off. But putting that aside for a second, and I think it's very important, and you and I have talked about it in the past, the effect of Fed moves in interest rates, it's a very inefficient tool that the Fed uses to control inflation, because it's relying on secondary things. They raise interest rates, and then they cross their fingers and hope that people will act rationally. But in an economic time that we've never seen before, they're not quite so sure. So it's likely that the Fed will continue to raise interest rates. I'm just hoping that they don't do it quite as aggressively as they have been.
So what's on the table? 0.75%?
0.75% is on the table. I think the market last week, after the reduction in 1 month in the rise of inflation, was thinking maybe the Fed had settled for 0.5%. I don't know what's going to happen. Neither do all of the other economists that I'm reading. We're just kind of guessing. We'll see on Friday.
And there may be, if it goes 0.75%, there'll be those that will say it's too much. And if it goes 0.5%, those will say there'll be some, it's not enough.
That's precisely right, Bill. And I think what the market has done in the past couple of days, and to a certain extent today, though it seems to be mitigating somewhat, what the market's doing is they're assuming a 0.75% interest rate hike. And if we see something less than that, and this meeting that they're having in Jackson Hole is not the open market committee meeting. So we won't really know. We'll get some indications from what Powell says, but we really won't see the policy until I think it's next week. But if the the people who read the tea leaves and read what Powell is saying and try to read between the lines, if they think that he's going to back off a little bit, I think we'll see what we saw a couple of weeks ago and the market will just do fine.
Good show planned next Tuesday. I'll be up in Central Oregon on the coast looking for cool water. You'll be with James Real of AZPM. What kind of show do you have?
Well, we have a show that's going to be based on, and this is, I think, the seventh show that James and I have done together while you were away on vacation. So he's going to be the guest for the entire hour. We're going to take a look at how composers, both classical and non-classical composers, view war and the things they say about war and the way they describe in music and in the words that go with that music, how they feel about war. And of course, we are at a time now where war, a 20th century war is waging in 21st century Europe.
Yep. Okay, Shelley, enjoy what's left of your time over in Santa Fe, New Mexico. How has it been so far? Did you get over to the opera?
We're going tonight and tomorrow morning. This is the long one. This is Tristan and Isolde tonight, and we'll get there at 8 for the opening curtain, and we won't be out of there until 1:30 in the morning.
I actually have a couple of extra seconds. So they've had a lot of rain in New Mexico, so it must look pretty green over there.
It's very green. Everything is blooming. If you have allergies to, and you know, anything like ragweed or that kind of stuff, you're in big trouble here. It's just absolutely spectacularly gorgeous. The weather in the the 70s during the day, and last night it cooled down into the 50s. It's just a really nice place to be. I always kind of scratch my head and think it's really a Hollywood set rather than a real place. But it's okay to visit once in a while.
It is, and we've had so many great trips, my wife and I, over to northern New Mexico and to Silver City, which is one of our great sponsors over in the southwestern part of New Mexico. Great place, land of enchantment. Okay, Shelley Fishman, enjoy what's left up there in Santa Fe. Enjoy the opera. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. See you I won't see you next week,
nope.
But have a great trip.
Okay, thank you.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Okay, one of my favorite things to talk about. People know me. They know I love to travel, so it's time for Insider Travel Talk on the Buckmaster Show. Our travel contributor and my friend, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage Travel experts are standing by. Yes, they're busy, which is a good thing, but they want to create your trip of a lifetime. Three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, BVTravel.com. They've got a great website. First stop in making your travel dreams come true. Rhino, how are you?
Bill, it's good to see you.
And it's great to see you. So much going on in the travel business. Your industry post-pandemic has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like suddenly all that pent-up demand, folks want to go somewhere. And yeah, you can go on the internet and you can do some, you're setting up and looking at trips, but you really need a professional right now.
Well, and you're right. You know, pre-pandemic, it was still an investment of time and money for you. Or, you know, most likely it was you worked your whole life and now you're retired and you're ready to travel, or you've got a celebration of a big birthday or an anniversary and you don't want to mess those things up. So it was always important to work with an expert when you're talking about something you dream for, you plan for, you save for. That needs to be expertise delivers that type of an experience. But pandemic has given us so many more things to think about and things that you don't know, and the volatility and fluidity of rules and protocols and laws and testing and mandates and masking and vaccination, it's still endless. And that's the interesting part, is COVID for a lot of people is somewhat in the rearview mirror. Uh-huh. And that's unfortunate because there's still people that are suffering with it. But in the travel space, it is not in the rearview mirror. While protocols are changing, many cruise lines now starting to say unvaccinated passengers are allowed to board.
Really? That's a change.
That's a big change. Yeah. Come September 5th, Celebrity and Royal Caribbean, out of a lot of different ports, not all ports, but a lot of different ports, unvaccinated travelers can cruise now. But there's testing requirements still for them for PCR and antigen testing 72 hours prior to boarding. So they're still taking the right measures to mitigate as much of the spread as possible. But depending on the country that you're embarking out of or you're going to, hey, Royal Caribbean still may require vaccination if you're sailing in and out of Barcelona, because Spain requires vaccinated travelers to board a cruise. So it's still complicated. And so you need that expertise of one of our advisors to help you mitigate and understand really all of the different things going on.
And think about this, and I know you do because you're in the business and you're in your team. People, with the way the airline situation has changed and still is being the shakeup with the airline industry, and some people like, you know, major changes in plans, wouldn't it be nice, you've made a big investment in a trip, to be able to call someone at Bon Voyage Travel who helped you set up this trip and say, hey, I'm stuck.
Absolutely.
Can you help me out?
Yeah, planning it. conflict resolution, because invariably there's something that happens on your trip. Unfortunately, here lately, it has been more so the airline industry with a schedule change that has you, you know, get in a day later than what you were supposed to. An equipment change that kicks you out of your seat. A pilot shortage that obliterates your itinerary, and you don't even have that flight anymore because of a pilot and crew shortage. Those are real things that the airline industry is struggling with.
And they're trying to hire a ton of people.
They absolutely are. They did all the right things to really lessen the economic hurt from COVID, right? Mm-hmm. They laid pilots off. They laid crew off. They tried to buy people into retirement to that would be a smaller cost over time for them. Well, guess what? The number of pilots entering into the workforce that are trained, that have the hours, this isn't something that you can expedite. Right? Yeah. We don't want a certain amount of hours. We want that pilot that has the 800 flight hours to be able to fly that regional carrier that then builds up to the big birds. So it's a difficult industry to just source from because it's expensive to learn. There's only a couple of pathways to do it and the number of hours required. So we as consumers, we as flyers are unfortunately on the bad end of that because of what the dominoes are. So how can you get through it? You need help. You need an expert. You need an advisor that knows where to go, what resources to pull on. So I hear and feel all of the pain of your listeners out there have said, that's me. Yeah. I had a flight canceled. Mm-hmm. I had this happen. Mm-hmm. What I wish I would have had help. Think of us next time.
And your folks do this every day.
For sure. This is definitely something that, do they love it? They don't love doing it, but they know that this helps that traveler get to their final destination, be it returning home or kickstarting that vacation. Nothing worse than having a great trip.
Yeah.
Everything goes beautifully, and then you have those flight problems on the way home. And without an advocate, it just exacerbates those problems.
We don't talk much, and we probably should talk more, Ryan, about people who are going solo.
Yeah, it is. It's something that almost people were afraid to talk of 10, 20 years ago. Like, oh, why would we want to cater to somebody that travels by themselves? You and I would probably both agree that traveling with loved ones is a much more engaging experience for us because we happen to have those people. But guess what? There's lots of people that want to just be an adventurer and go on their own. Maybe they don't have somebody in their life anymore. They did it one time and they don't. Or
and
they just
anxious.
Prefer
travel.
That.
They want new experiences.
The industry has finally figured that out. And instead of building plans and pricing and ships all based on double occupancy and saying, well, if you want to travel by yourself, that's fine, but you have to pay for your seat and if you had a
significant
other. And
that was always the traditional price point. There was always that deal for the solo person had to pay more.
Yep, it's archaic. And industries now, and the cruise lines specifically, are starting to price more so that is attractive to a solo traveler, like a hotel stay. This room, if you have one or two people, it doesn't matter. This is the cost. The same thing can be said for the cruise industry. And what's great, it's not just the pricing, Bill, is they're purposely building new ships and refurbishing older ships to cater to the needs of a solo traveler. They don't need the same size.
Right.
It's a different style of cabin that's more for a solo cruiser, and then it's priced accordingly. So it's purpose-built accommodations for a solo cruiser and pricing that is attractive. So I'm not paying 200% of what an individual would do. And it's amazing to see the new hardware from a ship standpoint that's coming out for the solo traveler.
And the solo traveler may want to not only see beautiful new things, they want to meet some people.
Right. And so the programming right on ships or on land are geared towards taking solo travelers and putting them in groups to meet other people that are like-minded. And that's really the focus, right? You want to travel with like-minded individuals. You may want to be solo for part of your trip, but be with others and not feel like the proverbial third wheel. And it's absolutely showing in the numbers, Bill. This year, There's a 64% increase in solo cruisers versus 2019's numbers. So
wow.
the public is responding with, I want to go on my own. And I think it's socially acceptable now to go to the movies by yourself and
of course,
be looked at.
Yes.
Go to a restaurant by yourself and not be stared at.
Sure.
Travel by yourself and viewed as an adventurer versus alone a person. So
are
I think
some
it's a great
lines,
industry.
Especially doing special cruises. Cruises for solo people?
Yeah, a lot of the river cruise lines are building cabins specifically. So Viking and Ama Waterways would be ones that stick out. Oceana, one of our best partners in the world, their brand new ship called the Vista that's coming out in April of 23. I'll be on the inaugural sailing of
Where
the Vista.
Where is that going?
The inaugural sailing will be in the Med, so it's most likely Barcelona, Rome. Mm-hmm. There's some great shipyards in that area, so many of the inaugurations take place in that place. But they're building solo suites. So it's not just a smaller accommodation. They're recognizing that just because you travel alone, maybe you want something special that's larger, but it's geared towards you as an individual.
All right. More travel talk with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. We'll take a break right here. Be right back with Rhino after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We heard from Shelley Fishman with his financial report. Shelley was weighing in from Santa Fe. He said it's so green over in northern New Mexico, and it's beautiful over in Silver City as well. SouthwestNewMexico.org, your first stop for planning a nice getaway, weekend getaway, just a three-hour drive east of Tucson. At the website, you'll find what to do and where to stay. We're talking travel with Ryan Hansen. It's our travel talk segment on the Buckmaster Show. Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel, bvtravel.com is their website. They've got three offices here in Southern Arizona. Ryan, this summer you were visiting some of your colleagues. There was a big meeting up in Utah. What was the theme? Are folks optimistic in the industry on the recovery?
Optimistic. They are very much optimistic about the leisure travel return. And we talked about it earlier, right? It's almost that term we've heard, revenge travel. I'm not only going to take the trip that I'm due in 2022, but...
Or I got robbed of a trip. We were ready to go. Someone may say, you know, we're ready to go in the spring of 2020 or the summer, had a huge trip planned. Well... that one went by the wayside.
Booked and rebooked in many cases.
Yeah.
And rebooked again. So not only am I going to take a second trip or a third trip this year, I'm going to go further. I'm going to stay longer. Mm-hmm. I'm not just going to take a cruise to Alaska. I'm going to add on a 7-night land component and go into Denali, because why? I didn't do this last year or the last 2 years. And so that was a lot of the conversation around the boardroom. It's a board of directors of a travel consortia show. 300 agencies across the United States and Canada got to are a part of this consortia, and I'm on a board of 11. So we were talking about, you know, what technology improvements need to happen, what the demand is going to look like over the
business
next couple
travel,
of years.
Business travel, did that come up?
Business travel came up in a small component, but business travel is slow to return. Mm-hmm. The expenses that were saved for companies are coming back in different ways, and travel is not one of the initial comebacks. It's marketing, it's technology improvements. You know, Zoom has now taken over a lot of the interactive nature of meetings, and so incentive and business travel probably won't get back to the 2019 levels until 2026 is what financial experts are looking at, where leisure travel, if we don't have any more black swan events of, you know, Ukraine, COVID, other inflationary issues, stock market challenges, if everything stays somewhat stable, the return to normalcy or even a larger return for travel in 2023 is expected and anticipated across all travel channels on the leisure side.
I want to talk about the digital component to travel and what really kind of gave this a big push. There'd been talk, oh, it's coming before pandemic. The travel of the future and how the digital component. But think about when people wanted to travel, they had to have that, what is it, QR code,
right?
That kind of changed everything.
Yeah, it forced the traveler to adopt technology that maybe they were averse to with their mobile device. And people, I know a lot of travelers, they don't want to put their personal information in their phone, or they don't want to have, they want that paper ticket from an airline standpoint. But what it did with COVID is where the governments started getting involved, the airlines, so they were pushing this through, saying, well, if you want to travel, this is the only way to go. And what it's done is it's given faster information, more expedited updates, and the ability to have it in a consolidated fashion. So you don't have a lot of different pieces of paper and have to rely on somebody calling you for an update. It really behooves the traveler of today and the future to adopt certain levels of technology to make it smoother for you. If you love that paper ticket, you want to print it out when you get to the airport, or you love checking in because I just have to talk to somebody, that's still okay.
Yes.
It's still acceptable.
That's me, by the way.
Right? But if you want and expect the airlines to update you and Ann on your upcoming travels when there's a flight change or a cancellation or an update, the best thing you can do is make sure the airlines or the cruise lines have your email, your cell phone number, and you have their app. There's lots of conversation and communications that are going to happen in that app to you that aren't going to happen in a traditional mode. And what's The next level of that is the governments are starting to get involved. We just saw recently that the State Department is doing a test of online passport renewals.
Hmm.
And so that would be a change for many folks who are used to going to Walgreens, getting your picture
done,
go to the post office and go through the rigmarole of that, which, you know, some people like it because they feel a little maybe more secure of their personal information being sent in. But I think for efficiency's sake, this is a step in the right direction. And where things are going. So countries that that require visas are now digital, or they're automated. You can do it as a traveler yourself. We can assist with many of these things. But online passport renewals, that's a good thing, a step in the right direction for efficiency's sake. And if you're concerned about your information on the internet, and there still are going to be, I'm sure, ways to do it in a more traditional manner through the post office. Mm-hmm. But this is just another indication. If the federal government is catching up to the technology improvements, then there's a level of adoption that would behoove you as a traveler. It's advantageous.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about how the photo thing will work. But
your smartphone, right? You take a picture yourself. there's lots of different ways to skin that cat.
I mean, we did do the renewal. My wife and I with the GOES, which is get you rather than going in when you check back into the United States, you can do that automatically.
The global entry kiosk, it's amazing right now how many people have not taken advantage of that service.
Yes.
And initially, to get set up, there's an interview. You have to pay a fee.
Right.
I believe it's still a 5-year certification.
It is, but this renewal was all through the internet.
Yeah, the renewal becomes you don't have to go back and re-interview or do it in person. For a traveler, if you are traveling internationally once a year for 5 years, I would say you step back and say, for $20 on this trip, can I avoid that long line at JFK and go right to the kiosk? Oh, by the way, absolutely, you would do that. And then every domestic trip, you are pre-authorized for TSA PreCheck.
Yes.
And so then that benefits you on all the domestic trips as well. It is something that if you haven't looked into it, we can help you with. That global entry is life-changing for your travel experience, especially international.
Okay, Rhino, here we are, August. How did the, for us, the Alaska cruise season, summer season is big. How did this season go? This is kind of the return to normalcy, if you will, season. How did it go, and is there still availability if somebody says, okay, I want a late autumn trip, September trip.
Yeah, and September is really, really the end of the season.
Is there availability?
Small and limited availability. I'll give you two quick perspectives of the Alaska season, one from a consumer, one from the supplier side, the vendor side. From a consumer standpoint, if you went on an Alaska cruise, there was lots of people. You probably felt like it was back to normal. The shops were busy. The restaurants were bustling. Mm-hmm. It was good travel for the Alaska tourism market. The cruise lines didn't feel it was as strong because they overseeded the number of ships and beds in Alaska because they felt like the exotic destinations wouldn't sell as much. And they were right in that fact. So for their numbers, the percentages were lower than what they would have liked because they put more ships in the water in Alaska. But when you look at 2019 total numbers versus 2022 total numbers, it was a very good season for Alaska, which you think of those small port towns that rely so heavily on the tourism industry, Skagway, just every one of those little restaurants and shops and salmon places. They were decimated for pretty much 2 years, right? Last year's season was so truncated.
Mm-hmm.
This year was back to normalcy, and it felt from an economic standpoint and a number of people, it was back to normal for them, which is great for those people.
Rhino, I'm not a last-minute traveler. As you know, I'm planning.
Last minute anything.
No, I'm not. but I know, and I have very good friends that are the exact opposite. They'll think, oh, here it's late August. You know, maybe we'll go up to Alaska in one of the last sailings, what, up until late September?
Late September.
Could you get somebody on a ship?
Yep. Keep this in mind. So there are deals to be had.
Okay.
There is availability. You might not get the exact stateroom you would have had you planned a year in advance like you would want to, or two
like
years
I
in advance.
Do, yes.
But yeah, there's deals to be had in the Alaska market. There's also great deals right now. We always talk about this, but in the river space in Europe, there is wonderful opportunities there. AMA Waterways right now has an amazing deal. You can buy your cruise and they will throw in free air.
Are you kidding?
Free air to Europe. That is
in
a value.
October?
Yeah, free air throughout the rest of the year. So if you want to do a Christmas market sailing in November or December, they're throwing in free air.
Whoa.
Amazing.
That's a huge saving.
Amazing. So last minute traveler can take advantage this year where maybe not every year that's going to come around.
All right, bvtravel.com. Bon Voyage Travel. Three offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley. There's a team of people there with so much experience in every one of those buildings. You won't believe it. These people have been everywhere in the world. They can get you on the right path. Thanks, Ryan.
Great to see you, Bill.
All right. On behalf of Ryan Hansen, John engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon, everybody.